This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. 4 weeks until the NFL draft. Q, as the Eagles keep letting go of good players, I need to add a good player somewhere.
What you got? What
we got the NFL draft. The Eagles, of course, own the 32nd pick in the NFL draft. Today, we're going to go to NFL.com, their latest mock drafts. Let's go through the top five, and then we'll jump to where the Eagles pick. All right, so number one overall, it's becoming, I wouldn't call it quite a consensus, but a lot of people believe it's going to be Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami to the Tennessee Titans. Number two, Cleveland Browns select Abdul Carter, pass rusher. For Penn State. Number three.
Ooh, that's a nice spot for him to land with
Abdul,
Miles.
Sure.
Yeah.
But who's their quarterback? Kenny
Pickett? I mean, they ain't going to have an offense.
Yeah. No, that would be a fun pass rush to do. You're right about that. Number three, the New York Giants select Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur.
Out of Colorado. But by the way, the Giants signed Jameis over the weekend.
That should be fun.
Yeah. How many picks will he have against the Eagles next season in the game? Three? Four?
I thought he'd been delivered from pick sixes.
Oh, no, I'm saying because he didn't throw that many last year, did he?
He didn't have as many opportunities.
Well, yeah, that's I guess when you spin it that way.
Well, not really spin. I mean, the guy threw 30 touchdowns and 30 picks one year.
Yeah,
so.
30 for 30. Yeah.
I think he threw more than we even think. So last year he played. Oh no, guys. Last season, Jameis played 7 games. How many times he threw an interception?
8.
12.
Damn.
Fangio's defense.
No, he has not been delivered.
No, he has not. All right, number four, Patriots select Travis Hunter. What do you call him? You think he's going to play both in the NFL, both corner and wide receiver?
You know what, I know that they're calling for teams to allow him to play both.
I think it'd be cool.
Can he? But the workload, though.
He did it in college. He put 100 snaps
it's,
a game.
It's a little different.
I know, but he's shown he could play 100 snaps. At least.
What is he projected as in the NFL? DB, right?
It's like both. They put him in as a slash, wide receiver, cornerback.
Some teams think he's more, I was reading, some teams look at him more as a receiver. Some teams look at him more as a corner.
Doesn't it feel like he's probably going to excel a lot more at one thing?
And then
Maybe mid at the other.
You know,
and then it feels like they're going to make him pick.
But isn't that valuable? Get a Darius Slay kind of corner and then you get a Dotson kind of receiver. That's still valuable on your roster.
But if he's he's A.J. Brown type wide receiver and like a mid level corner.
Is it worth it to keep
it's him? It's risky.
Sure.
Where are you going to start though? To play both sides of the ball in the NFL, I think that's a lot.
Of course.
And to be an impact player.
It almost never happens.
Yeah, to be an impact player. Because that means you never coming off the field. At first blush, I'm leaning more towards receiver than corner.
I think he's the most fascinating player in the draft. I mean, we just never see this in the modern NFL. So he goes 4 to the Patriots, 5, Mason Graham, defensive tackle to Jacksonville. All right, Hugh, let's make our way down to the Eagles, who we know have the 32nd pick in the 2025 NFL draft. But in this mock, they're trading up. The Eagles trade up with the Los Angeles Rams, move from 32 to 26. They surrender a third-round pick and one of their fifth-rounders. So they're trading a third and a fifth to move up 6 spots from 32 to 26 to select Walter Nolan, defensive tackle out of Mississippi. I mean, we've heard this is a great defensive tackle draft. We've heard that this is why, part of the reason why they were comfortable letting Milton go, because they think they could replace him maybe night one of the NFL draft. That is a pretty hefty cost to move up 6 spots in the first round, to give a third and a fifth. Walter Nolan, Hugh, what do you think of the concept of trading up for a kid like Walter Nolan, D-tackle at Ole Miss?
6'3", 304. I tell you what, that's him and Jalen Carter together and working that rotation. That's a big dude in the middle, man. That is a really big dude in the middle.
So they also have to make a decision on Jordan Davis's future. I think this is the time that to figure out if they're going to pick up his fifth-year
option. That's what I was thinking. Like, what does that mean for Jordan?
I would guess they're not going to re-sign Jordan at any sort of significant price if they use a first-round pick on another defensive tackle.
But when I'm looking at his stats, what was this, from last year?
You're talking about Walter Nolan?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, yeah, six and a half sacks? Yeah, one sack his first year, 6.5 sacks. Okay, I can see that a little bit because they want more of a pass rush presence in there. Big dude, two big tackles in the middle. You know who it kind of reminds me of? The year that when I went to Jacksonville, they had Marcus Stroud and was it James Henderson?
John Henderson.
John Henderson.
He's the one that used to get slapped.
They got after it, man. That would be – you talk about getting him in this defense and him bringing what he has to the table.
Yep.
That makes it a lot easier for those edge rushers. It does, to have those two guys in the middle, and they're big and they're stout against the run. I can see that. That now you bolstered your defense with another young Thundercat.
Mm-mm, here we go.
That with Coach Hurt out there, get him right. Man, you might – hey, that's – takes a lot of pressure off of everybody else. It takes more pressure off your already stellar secondary. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I he's a name I keep seeing mocked to the Eagles. I'm sure his name will come up again over the next 4 weeks or so as we go through our daily mocks.
Started
at 1 o'clock.
All games last year, too. All-American.
And I noticed
team All-SEC.
First year was one sack, next year four, the next year six
and
a half.
Yeah, he got progressively better. Yeah.
Look, he comes from the SEC, which means that that's the extra little, like,
number one overall recruit nationally.
So he's always had the ability.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing that in a perfect world, those two guys, him and Jalen Carter.
I've seen him mocked a lot around this spot. Maybe in this mock, they think they have to trade up to get him. So Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
Ooh,
our
that's
first
exciting. Just the, that,
daily
that
mock.
First, you hit it out the park with that first one, Joe.
Well, I like the trade up idea.
Yeah.
Well, plus we get to go home a little earlier that night if it's a trade up.
Oh, that's what you're thinking about.
Well,
thinking
what if they trade back into the first again?
Oh, yeah.
You can't count on that.
I guess we're there the whole time.
Yeah, of course.
So it reminded me of when in 2018 the Eagles had the last pick, right? Because they won the Super Bowl, and we did the whole draft show. Only for them to trade out when they got on the clock at 32. We were there the whole night for nothing.
Yeah, you're not going anywhere, bud.
No, that was if we were there the whole
time. At
least
they feed us, though, so that's cool.
Well, that is good. All right, 215-592-9494. We're coming up at 1:30. We have something so shocking, I can't believe we were able to uncover it. We have audio Hugh Douglas back in the day, something that I can't even properly explain it until we play it, but you need to stay tuned for this. It sheds new light on the man he was before he got to Philadelphia. Mark in Philly is up. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's Mark. Up, what's Mark? Going on?
I just want to talk about this Tapper thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
A couple of weeks ago, I called you and said that I didn't think that these guys were going to ever be good enough hitters to win a World Series. Mm-hmm. And to make a long story short, I still think it's the same thing. It's not a new voice. It's new players we need. And I think it's we already talked about the analytics-based slugging style that I don't think is going to be effective. But there's also a mentality or culture that's deficient here. And I think that you have your leaders that exhibit it, because when you got Harper saying, oh, I just got a bad third, and Turner saying, oh, I can't play anything but shortstop, even though I stink at it. And real Muto. Oh, I got to play every day, even though every year it looks like I'm worn out by July. And Castellano saying, I'm just going to keep swinging. It's what I do. That's a mindset. It's not a championship mindset. And there's too many players focused on the individual agendas and not going all in for the team. So you just got to get rid of these players. At least two of them, Castellanos and Real Muto, after this year, they should be replaced. And we'll see what else they can do at the trade deadline. But you don't have the players you need to win championships here.
So, Mark, while I agree with some of what you're saying there, this team did get to the World Series 3 seasons ago. I mean, with most of these same guys. Obviously, Turner was not here then, but Castellanos was, Harper was. These guys were here. I mean, like, we've seen this before from this group. And the other thing is, it's a lot easier to switch the manager and get someone that they may listen to than switch all the players. That's much harder.
Well, I would say that's true. That's the easy way to go. But I think when you look at it, it's not the voice, it's the people. And that would be like a knee-jerk reaction, like throwing your hands up and saying, oh, we're stuck with these players. And I think that management is thinking, well, this might be a throwaway year because we're just going to have to wait until we can make some changes here because we got the pitching. I mean, they got close previously, but they didn't get over the hump because of the slugging style that they can't get away from. They just want to keep swinging because somebody told them that home runs offset strikeouts. So don't bother. Don't be so concerned about striking out because you might hit a home run. They can't get that out of their minds, and they're just not the guys that are going to get you over the hump. Because we have to have better contact hitters, guys that can move the runners, get a hit, and you know just play good old fashioned baseball.
Yeah, well, that's a roster construction thing more than as a manager thing. Mark, we appreciate the phone call. Two things off of Mark's call that I just thought of. One, if we did have that mentality, Kyle, 2 years ago, we never fired Girardi. Like, if we just say it's the player's fault, then the Girardi fire never happens. Topper never takes him to the World Series. Like, managers matter some.
Yeah, well, and at the very least, it might be a situation where things are just getting stale, and
yes,
they need some sort of spark.
Shake up the message.
Yeah, some sort of wake-up call, because I think Rob Thompson's a much better manager than Joe Girardi ever was while he was with Philly. This isn't a matter of fire Topper because he's not a good manager. This is a matter of, this is the only lever that I have left to pull. We can't shake the core up of the team.
And perhaps his message has gotten old. I mean, a lot of people have called today with some variation of they run the show, right? They don't want to bat here. They do this. Well, maybe because he's let them. I mean, sometimes when the substitute teacher takes over, you kind of bully the substitute teacher. It might work for a little bit, but at some point, like, he could try this with the lineup and maybe it'll work. But if it doesn't, I just wonder what he has left to do. Like, what buttons he's going to push to get them to play great baseball. I don't know. We're going to find out when the season starts in a couple days. But also the idea of this might be a throwaway season.
Nah.
They spent $300 million on this roster.
Can't be no throwaway.
It's the second highest active payroll in the league.
Also, and one more thing, because he said the pitching's good. They got to change up the hitters. Guys, Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola aren't going to be this good forever. They can't waste this.
Yeah, they're getting older.
Yeah, they are. Like, Zach Wheeler 2 years from now, I mean, I hope he's still pitching like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but he might not be the same.
Right, he's in his mid-30s.
That's right, what irons.
Exactly.
I mean, if healthy, you could argue this is the best pitching rotation in all of baseball.
Right. But 2 years from now, they might not be anymore.
Right.
I mean, that stuff changes
fast. No, it's put up or shut up for the whole team right now.
Yes, and that's why heading into the season, I'm putting the manager on the hot seat. It feels like a lot of excuse-making today. Like, it's not all Topper's fault. I know that. I'd much rather get rid of the shortstop, but I can't get rid of him.
Yeah, it's a money thing. The problem lies with the guys that are making the most money. If you're gonna point the blame
sure
at somebody, but you're not moving on from those guys, and I think that's obvious. I think it kind of shifted this offseason when there was a big talk about Alec Baum not being here, and that did not happen the way that people thought it was. His name was being shopped around. And then they had to do a hard pivot. And they said, okay, we have to run it back. We have no choice. We're going to try to infuse some of these young guys as the season progresses. But if something doesn't shake, then somebody has to go. You can't run it back. Because the one thing that I think happened in the offseason, a lot of Philly fans thought that there were going to be changes. There weren't any. And now you have to appease the fan base to a certain extent.
We had Buster Olney on with us. I think it was like November-ish. We had a Phillies, all kind of hot stove kind of day on the show. And he told us he was almost certain they would add a star this offseason. And they didn't. Now, I mean, some people listening may say Jesus Luzardo has that kind of potential. All right, maybe. But I don't think that's what Buster meant when he said it. I think he meant a guy that everyone would agree is a star. They didn't. It was mostly a quiet offseason. Are you putting Rob Thompson on the hot seat to start the season? This is one of our closest polls in a long time. Hugh, 51% yes, 49% no.
That is crazy. I'm starting out the week pretty good.
What does that mean?
It means I'm right there. I'm like a couple more votes. It can swing this my way.
I love the me guy, Douglas, here. This isn't all about you.
No,
this is about the Phillies.
It's like to be on the right side of history when it comes to things like that.
Who's writing this history?
I'm just saying.
The history of you, Douglas.
I didn't know we were so competitive, but I'm kind of leaning into it a little bit.
You made it competitive.
Y'all made it competitive.
This one you made competitive.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely you.
You're the one that started being like, oh, I'm winning.
No,
I'm losing.
You got all in. You got all tight about the bacon this morning, the ham and the bacon.
I don't get tight about anything.
You got tight about the bacon.
Well, I was right.
Okay, fine. But it's basically the same. It's from the pig, though. When I asked you a specific question.
He never answered that.
He didn't answer the question.
Never answered what animal the bacon comes from.
Because he knew I had it. He didn't want to answer it.
No, because the animal doesn't matter. There's different cuts of the pig.
No, I'm just saying. Where does bacon come from,
supposed to be the happy. The bacon comes from the belly. The ham comes from the leg. And back bacon comes from more the loin area. Okay, to answer your question. Listen. You were the one trying to tell me that ham and Canadian bacon are the same thing. They're not.
Listen. Okay.
Different cuts.
See, I didn't mean rehash this earlier argument. I was just pointing out.
No, we're here now.
I've been trying to avoid cooking you on bacon and the logistics of pig meats for a while now. But now I have to do it.
You are the bacon guy.
Yeah, you backed me into a corner. You're Hatfield Hugh, and I'm the one that knows all about the pig.
I just asked a simple question. It still ain't got the answer.
Did I not just give you the answer?
Okay.
Now, what's your response to me giving you the answer? Okay, that you were wrong, and I was right about pigs?
Okay, where does bacon come from?
I already told you the belly. Are you listening to anything I'm saying?
It comes from pigs, guys. Pigs.
I like how we get dug into our arguments.
I just don't understand what we're doing now.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You might need to brush up on your cuts.
Speaking of brush, let me go ahead and hit this.
It's not working, man.
Let me hit this spot real quick.
In fact, I'm seeing hair like flying off.
Oh, yeah, it's a
wrap.
You're
losing more.
Oh, wait till it gets a little longer when it starts looking really like George Jefferson up in this piece.
What's the plan here? Like, so
no plan. No plan. No plan.
All right. I am putting your bald spot on the same hot seat as Topper. It's got a month.
The cul-de-sac's on the hot seat.
I'm going to, like, most of the times when I'm out in public, most people won't see it because I probably have a hat on. But, I'm just going to let it grow.
I'm giving your cul-de-sac and Topper till mid-May. And if I don't like what I'm seeing,
then we got to let it go.
Gone.
I'm going to see what it's going to do.
Who lasts longer, the cul-de-sac or Topper?
I actually think Topper will. I think Topper's got a better shot.
He was going to bail
on the cul-de-sac.
No, not for long.
You wavered on it after a day.
No, listen, this morning I woke up and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, no, you got to hang in there. It might grow.
To look yourself in the mirror.
No, I had to.
What are the odds after all these years you're the one that's going to solve balding?
No, listen. Because I've had some friends of mine, they told me to get these certain things.
All you got
to
do is brush it.
I got some African tea tree oil. I got some of that. And they say, wash it with the tea tree oil.
Is this holistic hue?
Well, they said this will help stimulate the hair growth. And then I have a friend of mine that's from Atlanta. She's sending me this growth oil where it has documented pictures of people that had like big old bald spots. And they grew back. So I'm going to get some of that.
I wish you the best. I much like Taiwan Walker, I'll not believe it.
Seeing it.
I'll believe it when I see it. Alex is in Bristol. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Alex. What's up?
All right. So about the Phillies, I'm just getting annoyed with the negativity here. These guys have the best pitch in baseball, and you got all these callers saying they're going backwards and not going to make the playoffs. And it's ridiculous.
Well, Alex, I don't think that's a ridiculous thought. I don't think they're a lock for the playoffs. I think they'll make it, but I don't think it's like, no doubt about it. Like, the Dodgers are a lock for the playoffs. The Phillies are not.
All right.
The team with the best pitch in baseball.
Well, hold on. The Dodgers have the best pitching. The Phillies pitching staff is very good. They don't have the best pitching in baseball.
Arguably.
It's there, but it's not like turnkey, like no doubt about it. It's good. It's a good pitching staff.
The Dodgers picked up Blake Snell, and I forget who else they got. But I think you can make an argument that the Phillies are, the best. And usually the team that has the best pitching is picked to win their division. So I don't understand how this is, the Phillies are not being picked to win the division. Which would obviously
they're not the favorite. I mean, the Braves got better and
they got healthy.
Yeah,
they got healthy,
and that'll make them better. And the Mets got better, Alex. I mean, I they're not even the favorite to win their own division.
Yeah, I think they are the best team in that division, but you can think that.
Yeah, right. They'll go to prove it. But like, what do you want people to say, Alex? They played 500 baseball from the middle of the season to the end last year and got knocked out in four games. Like, what do you want people to say?
I don't want them to say that said that they were going to win, start winning 80 games and going backwards. I don't want to go back to the 11 or 12 years of losing.
I don't either. I mean, no one does. I mean, and I think they'll be better than that. But my point is, if they don't play well, the manager should be on the hot seat. They should be better than that.
I'll go along with the manager on the hot seat, but I won't go along with not making the playoffs.
Yeah, That's Alex, I don't think it's a laughable thing. By the way, they had the 11th best ERA in baseball last year. They have a very good pitching staff. It's not like turnkey the best, no doubt about it.
Okay.
And we'll see. Maybe they'll be better than that.
That's it.
He's not really interested in fighting with the
Eagles. All right, I can say what I want. You say what you want. That's fine.
say what you want.
Stats don't matter. Facts don't matter. Mm-hmm. I do think their pitching staff should be very good. Wheeler Hughes should be great again.
Yeah, that's what they're banking on.
Nola is very, you kind of know what he is, very consistent. Mm-hmm. Sanchez looks like he's about to level up and take a huge leap to maybe Cy Young caliber status. I'm not sure about the last two spots in the rotation. I mean, we already have Ranger on the injury list, which means we got to get Taiwan in here, which nobody but Hugh is excited about. And then
I'm optimistic, more optimistic.
I think Luzardo is maybe the most interesting guy because 2 years ago, Hugh in Miami, he was a really good pitcher. Then last year, he hurt his back, wasn't very good. Spring training has been up and down. If they get the Luzardo of 2 years ago, then that is a great rotation.
Yeah, just looking for his bounce back year.
Yep.
I mean, because I remember we were talking about that. Well, who was talking? We were talking to somebody about what you saw from him.
It might have been T-Mac or Greg Murphy.
I think it was Greg. Yeah. I think it was Greg. And you were talking about how he pitched the last couple of years before he got hurt. So, yeah, hopefully. They're optimistic about their pitching staff.
And they should be. Now, I think the bullpen is more of a question, but the starting pitching should be very good. There's no doubt about that. They need more elements, though, than just starting pitching. The offense has got to be good. It's got to be a top 5 to 7 offense of baseball. And hopefully the bullpen as well. And that's why I'm putting this on Topper. Topper's got enough to work with here that they should be a good team. If they struggle, I'm putting them on the hot seat. We can't just wait around for 2 months for this team to wake up. 215-592-9494. All right, when we come back, we got a lot to do here. We'll take your phone calls on all this with Topper and the Phillies. And, of course, Dallas Goedert, would you be upset if the Eagles outright cut him, which feels like it could happen here? Plus, an update on the bracket of Hughes, what the odds look like for some of these teams, some of these Hugh Douglas personalities as we move through the regions here. And you have to hear this audio next. We were able to track down of Hugh Douglas before he was on WIP. It is absolutely wild. We're going to play that next. It's something we've referenced on the show before, but we never really had the evidence of it. We were able to track this down. Incredible investigation work to track this down. We have the audio. You're going to hear a version of Hugh Douglas you've never heard before. That's next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh, what a great sound after the weekend. College basketball down to the Sweet 16. We had a buzzer beater last night. And I'm looking at the odds here, but not for the NCAA tournament, Hugh. I'm looking for the odds at the bracket of Hughes. As we went through our full first round last week, we will continue moving forward our bracket of Hughes shortly here in this month of March as we go to early April. But the odds are out.
What the odds?
Well, the odds on who is going to win the bracket of Hugh Douglas this year, still the favorite after the first round, and by a pretty sizable amount here, is, of course, the number one overall seed, plant-based Hugh, a favorite, minus 110.
Wow.
But one of the ones that's getting a lot of action right now is at plus 200, 2-1.
Who's making these odds, man?
Me. Tongue-tied, Hugh. Tongue-tied.
I can't even get it out. Y'all funny.
Those are the two favorites right now. Minus 110 plant-based, 2-1, tongue-tied, Hugh. Were you wondering about any sleepers, Kyle? I can give you the odds on a sleeper. Yeah, teams that made it through the first weekend of this NCAA tournament here in the Hugh Douglas region.
All right, so I'm wondering where Songbird is after this weekend. It's coming on pretty strong.
Yeah, started out as an 11, took down Vaseline Hugh, which really surprised most people.
Yeah, that was tough. Vaseline was a good one.
And slather Vaseline on me? That's crazy.
You can still get Songbird at 35-1. So the odd makers are still not believing Songbird can make a huge run in this, but 35-1 on Songbird. I would watch out, guys, though, for Gassy Hugh, who got a lot of play last week.
Got a lot of run.
Yeah.
Poor you, man.
Y'all funny.
20-1, Gassy Hugh to take down the whole tournament. You know what? I might put $10 on Gassy Hugh right now.
That he was going to stay there. That was not.
$10 to win 200 on Gassy Hugh? I might do that. But plant-based Hugh remains your number one in the rankings, number one in the odds, and tongue-tied Hugh coming in at 2-1. Now, here's the question. What was the word you pronounced perfectly this morning?
Malleable. I see you keep trying to get me pronounced.
The more chance he gets at it, the more likely he is to
screw
it up.
I'm just wondering if Hugh pronouncing malleable perfectly the first time hurts the case of tongue-tied Hugh. It's almost like an injury to the star player.
Is that right? I didn't think about it like that.
Well, I think it hurts. I think it leads to an upset this
week. That is detrimental to their long-term success.
Yeah, all right. 215-592-9494. I have enjoyed the NCAA tournament. I know a lot of people have been complaining there's been no upsets. I guess the Cinderella is no longer a thing.
The first few days were kind of weak in terms of the games.
They were.
Yesterday was really good.
Yesterday was good. I also realized, and Rhea, when off-air, she was saying this to us, I think I just enjoyed watching basketball for a few days.
Real basketball?
Because the Sixers have been so bad, I don't care about them.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, man, because when she said it, it made me think about it.
It hit me, that's what it is,
because professional basketball is just like all over the place. When, you know, you talk about the Sixers here and everything that's going on, it's like, it's not a watchable product right now. It really isn't.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I even turn on the Sixers games or pay attention to anything is just to see if they've lost and to see if, Grimes is trying to ruin things and the tank and all that and look at the standings. And when was the last time you sat down to watch a Sixers game in full, like, because you cared?
Like, front to back?
The beginning of the season.
Maybe even not since last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's how bad it's been. So I think that's part of the reason I've enjoyed first 4 days of the NCAA tournament.
You're not big on George Niang? Barking at Quentin Grimes.
No, I just saw that.
He was like, if Maxie was here, you would be in the corner.
I mean,
if Joel Embiid was here,
who does George Niang think he is? What are you doing?
I mean, yeah, that was kind of hard. That was
George, you're not relevant enough to trash talk like that. You play for the Hawks.
He's an out of shape Hawk. Right, yeah, I mean, what are you talking about? I don't know. I mean, that's part of why the NBA stinks right now. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing to come out of that game is George Niang barking at the Sixers.
By the way, that just reminded me what just happened there with you. There's a potential top seed in next year's bracket, and that's High Volume Hugh. His phone goes off on the air every day. It's literally every day.
And I cut the sound down every time, and it comes right back.
So I have to bring everyone inside on this, and when we go live on YouTube, you guys are going to see this. So there's a... There's a moment that happens, I'd say once a day on this show, where Hugh's volume on his phone will go off. I'll try to keep us on the rails as if no one's paying attention to the noise. And Kyle will stare at you like a parent staring at their kid as the kid is about to do something wrong.
And it's the absolute dirtiest look that you can give. I try to act like I don't see it, but
you look so guilty.
You know what it's like? It's like the kid trying to sneak into the cookie jar to get another cookie, and the mom is just watching with like a side eye.
We are so dysfunctional.
And the kid notices the mom noticed them. You know, like, I didn't do anything. It wasn't me.
The unfortunate thing about us going live Thursday is that everybody is going to get to see all of this.
Yeah, look at the behind the scenes.
Get to see me. Let me see. Get me brush that ball spot again. Right there.
It's not working.
It probably worked, man. I'm going to get these hair care products.
All right.
This week.
I said I'm giving Topper a month and a half. If this team isn't playing well, hot seat, you know, seriously, it's time to move on to get a new manager. How long are you giving the cul-de-sac before you realize the combing isn't maybe doing its
thing? Well, it's just how bad. It all depends on how bad it looks.
Sure.
You know, because right now, I normally wear a hat when I'm outside. Only reason I don't have one on now is because, you know, we're trying to present for these Tubi movies that I'm going to potentially do after we blow up.
So wait a second.
Come Thursday.
Wait a second.
Are you using us as a launching point
for
your Tubi?
Yeah, you picked up on that too.
Why not? I'm just saying.
The second time.
Well, I'm taking y'all with me.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're abandoning.
We are all inclusive.
What are we going to play?
We'll figure it out.
We need some random white guys. Put them in the back.
So I had to take my hat off so people, you know, to see the facial features. We about to take this thing to the next level, man.
This is the second time. First, you used this show to platform yourself for a college football coaching job.
No, listen.
And now acting.
Listen. I'm taking us all. We are about to go to the top because
I doubt you're taking us with you.
No, listen.
You're going to forget about us.
I never do that.
You're going to dump us as quickly.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Come Thursday, when we debut this thing that we about to do.
That has to stop.
That is kind of annoying. We about to do numbers. We about to do some serious numbers. Mm-hmm. Come Thursday. Thursday, right?
I believe it's Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Should Rob Thompson enter the season on the hot seat? I believe he should. And I feel like way more people today have been saying yes than I expected. I thought there'd be, because we had a poll up at the end of the Philly season last year, Hugh, when the Phillies got knocked out by the Mets. We had a poll, we did a show that day. Should Rob Thompson, do you want him back as the manager next year? And 64% said yes that day.
Yes.
But right now, 50% are saying they want him on the hot seat. No, nothing's changed.
Are we at 50 now?
It's about 50-50, yeah. Or,
well, no, no.
Hey, listen.
Hold on. No, no, no.
I got 20 minutes.
No, I think it's still 40.
We can do this.
It's 50.5% yes.
Wait a minute. Now we're doing 50. We're doing the 0.5?
Well, yes. That on your phone, it rounds up. On the desktop, fine. You can see the decimals.
So it's close to 50-50. You still lost. The bottom line is...
Come on, people. We got 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
This isn't a competition.
You're just campaigning.
I know.
For the poll.
Hey, listen. Come on, people. We're about to go into a new era of radio. I'm just trying to... You know, I'm trying to get these numbers. We're about to blow... Dude, we're about to start doing movies and stuff. I'm telling y'all. We going to the next level. Thursday. Well,
no one knows no movies.
It is. Philly's a great spot for movies. Somebody's going to put us in a movie here in Philadelphia.
You
doing
might
what
be
we
in a
do.
Movie because you
we come, y'all coming with. We're family. Dysfunctional.
We can't act.
Family nonetheless. You act up every day. We act every day. Act the fool.
Yeah, but this is the real thing.
This is not the real thing. This is sports, and we all are emotional. Just like perfect example. Right now, everybody wants to fire Topper.
Well, no, I just want him on the hot seat. I want him to sit down and know
everybody
we're on
wants to fire Topper,
I don't want to
and
fire
he
him.
Ain't played.
I want
us
he's just on the clock.
Not yeah. Nan baseball game been played yet.
Hot butt, not but, fired.
By
hot
the way, he was lost ground in this poll since he called for people to start voting his way.
Because they're contrarians out there. They're contrarians,
and they're not paying attention. We forgot that.
Like,
that
you know what?
Yeah, they
was like, you know what it is? There was that time I was laughing, or he laughed too much. I'm gonna make him pay.
This guy's giggling too much. All right, let's get back to the phones on Topper, and you could weigh in on Goddard as well. Elliot thinks the Eagles could cut Goddard outright if they can't find a trade partner, and then we'll get to this audio here, which is. Startling.
I can't wait for everyone
it is
to hear this.
The audio of Hugh Douglas before he got to Philadelphia, what he the stunt he pulled on the air, unbelievable. Cowboy Jim up on WIP. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
All right, before I get to my Phillies talk, which no one's really going to care, I'd like to respond to the 4 hours of Cowboy talk on Friday.
Four hours? No, that wasn't Cowboy talk. I was trading for a pass rusher. That's
yeah, we're trying to get Cowboy Michael Parsons.
Hugh, you would understand this. It would be sad to lose Micah Parsons, but it's kind of like a relationship. You know, you break up, and you're sad and depressed, but then eventually someone comes sauntering towards you, and you forget your problems, and you forget your ex. So there's plenty of good edge rushers in the draft, so we'll be just fine.
Hold on a second. Are you resigned to losing Micah Parsons at this point? Has it gotten that bad?
I like how you said sauntering.
Yes, right.
So you're resigned to losing him. You realize it's going to happen.
Listen, for Micah Parsons, I want Landon Dickerson,
no.
Or I want Jalen Carter. I want first and second round picks, kind of like the Herschel Walker deal.
No. You'll take a first and a two and a four, and you'll like it.
I don't even want him anyway.
I'll take Landon Dickerson or Jalen Carter.
You're not getting either of those players, and you know that.
And by the way, Hugh, I saw you play. I saw you play in your last high school game at Mansfield Senior High. You didn't show up. You're barely on the field. You picked your spot. You weren't grinding it out, and you spent too much time on your podcast.
And you knew then that this guy was trouble.
That was crazy.
That was a wild call. I saw him in high school. Okay?
I don't even remember my last high school game. This was like 30 years ago.
I agree with that guy. Yeah. He was a jerk at Archbishop when he played Archbishop Wood.
One thing before we get to Jim's Philly's point. Here's a question. When you were a senior in high school, had you already committed to Central State? When did you commit?
Well, I did.
So did you
take your foot off?
That's what I was going to ask. Were you checked out, Douglas, or did you dominate?
No, I still was. I mean, I think I was still playing.
Okay. No, I mean, did you play well?
High motor guy.
I think I did.
Okay. I'm going to look at some articles from the local newspaper. Jim, what do you got for us?
Way back in the day.
Oh, well. But wait a second, the Hughes bracket, how does farting Hugh beat out sellout Hugh? I mean, did he sell out? Yes. Did he fart? No.
Don't pretend.
I didn't fart, but you know what, Jim, to be honest, it did sound like it. If it wasn't me and I knew it was me, I would say I farted. But
did
I
you sell out?
That heel's going. Yes. I didn't sell out. She was sauntering. She was a saunterer. And she had on them black leather pants.
And Kyle asked Dustin, who hates
man,
me.
Brown, you know, she so had Dustin, chocolates, man. Yeah, chocolate.
Well, as for my Phillies
she had
talk,
a pretty smile, too.
See, this is
relax over there, Horny Hugh.
I'm just saying.
Total sellout.
Man, anybody, if she presented to you like that, anybody would have took the bottle and didn't care who it came from.
I'm not
from.
A sellout, so.
If it came from the devil himself, you'd be like, hey, thank you, Mr. Devil. She was awesome. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm working with her tomorrow. You want me to say something to her tomorrow?
No.
No. I'm okay.
No.
I'm okay.
Well, you know, right, you know, Hugh made the all-time Ohio high school football team. They put one together.
I did.
All time.
I didn't even know. I mean, it'd be nice if they reached out.
Yeah, told me.
I'm just looking at a list. I mean, this is who's who.
I got to get a T-shirt.
You ready for this team? Staubach, Larry Zonka, Chris Carter, Travis Kelce, Orlando Pace, Darren Deer. I mean, you got Hall of Famers everywhere.
Seriously?
Alan Page, Hugh Douglas as the defensive ends, all time. Jack Lambert at linebacker, and Chris Spielman and Luke Kuechly. Charles Woodson, Marshawn Lattimore, Antoine Winfield. This is a heck of a team.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
So you must have tried your senior year. You must have not
packed it in. That was a try-hard.
Yeah, you couldn't have packed it in and made that team. All right, go ahead, Jim. What do you got in the Phillies?
Well, it was just his last game that he just didn't grind it out. Anyway, with the Phillies, listen, 81-81.
Oh, stop.
Same team. They're just like the Sixers. They've just got a bunch of names for people to fill up the stadium, spend their money, waste their money.
If they go 81-81, the manager's out of here by midseason.
You know what that actually sounds more like? The Cowboys.
It does, yeah.
Oh, we get back to Cowboy talk again, just like Friday for 4 hours?
You're literally Cowboy Jim.
That's right.
How are we not going to mention the Cowboys?
That's enough, Jim. All right, we appreciate the phone call. I always remember have to let Jim go before he lets us go. It's really, I feel better when I hang up on him.
Yeah, I did realize I don't care about his Phillies opinion.
Oh, we didn't get that?
No.
Oh, that's okay. I thought he said 81-81.
No. I'm saying
I don't care. You know what's something I do care about? The audio we uncovered. All right, so... Hugh, you've told the story many times on the air that when you were in Atlanta, you got in trouble for cooking bacon while on the air?
Yes, got in trouble. It was during the pandemic.
Right.
And guys were upset. My producers were upset because I can't imagine why. At home. I mean, it's understandable now, but at the time, I was like, I didn't understand why they were so upset.
So when you've told the story, I always imagine like it was like in the background, a noise, and then it turned out to be... The bacon.
Yes.
Well, we were able to actually uncover the audio. We found the audio. They dug it up for us down in Atlanta. Here is what it was and sounded like 5 years ago when Hugh, doing shows from home during the pandemic, cooked bacon literally on the radio.
Still no, because it's still like you go up there and you're vulnerable. Like
you immediately learn musical taste.
Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh damn Douglas.
What?
Hugh Douglas. What the hell, man?
Is that bacon?
It is bacon. It is bacon, Hugh.
But you can hear that? Wait, but let me just.
Hugh Douglas, it's a microphone!
Wait, but just let me turn this last piece of bacon, man. Let me turn this bacon and then we can.
No, go ahead, Hugh. We'll wait for you.
We can just wait.
We'll wait for you here. It's okay.
Wait, okay, now, okay, it's turned. Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, they were hot.
I can understand why.
Abe was thoroughly upset with me. Abe gave me an earful once we got out the air. I did not understand at the time why he was so upset. But now, as I look back on the situation,
sure.
I get it.
Now, here's my question.
It's so loud.
Did you realize what it sounded like to the audience? Mm. Or did you just think it was like a light sound?
I thought it was a light sound.
Yeah.
Because this is what I did.
But you can hear that?
I found out the best way to cook bacon and to make it flat, not so crinkly. Put a little bit of water in the pan.
Yeah, well, that works, yeah.
And you put a little top on it and let it cook. When the water evaporates, the bacon's a little bit flatter.
Sure. Right?
So it was kind of the water in the bacon. But, I didn't know they heard it. And they were upset. And I got a phone call. I was like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, we're in a pandemic. And it was explained to me, like, you know, your coworkers, they have to still go to work.
Yeah.
And it was like a ghost town. And you're at home.
Cooking bacon. Well, you're rubbing it in everyone's face. So you could work from home.
I mean, I didn't look at it like that.
But here's my question: logistically, were you set up?
Damn good bacon.
You had like a Comrex, right? Like
it was a Comrex.
There were these. It's like a little box where you almost replicate a radio thing, and you plug a microphone in, and you're connected. Well, some people here have them if someone has to work from home or whatever. Hugh, did you have the Comrex in the kitchen?
Well, I had one of the Bobby Brown microphones, like, you know, with the My Prerogative, where they had the whole thing, the one that picks up everything, smaller one, right?
Yeah.
So I was cooking the bacon, and normally when I would cook, because that ain't the first time I cook bacon, that's just the first time they heard me cooking bacon.
Oh, so you've been on this behavior for a while.
Man, listen, let me tell you. During the pandemic, we worked from 6 to 10, right? I would get up at 5:55, you know, turn the Comrex on, let it heat up a little bit. and, you know, walk around like it was just me. I'd be in my birthday suit, so I go cook me some bacon.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'm at home.
I know, but radio is theater of the mind. I mean, your audience
was... I'm just giving you some theatrics.
I know, that is theatrics. So your audience had to listen to a naked Hugh Douglas
naked
make
Hugh
bacon.
Douglas. I was in there cooking bacon.
First, no, because it's still like you go up there and you're vulnerable. Like, you immediately learn musical taste. Hugh Douglas.
What?
Hugh damn Douglas.
No,
Hugh
bacon,
Douglas.
No.
What the hell, man?
Is that bacon?
Yeah, it is bacon. It is bacon, Hugh.
And you see that?
You
that it
that?
Is bacon.
Wait a minute, let me just.
Hugh
wait.
Douglas!
Abe was the most upset because he likes bacon a lot.
He didn't have any.
You could tell because Orrin was more perplexed. Abe was hot. Abe was hot for real.
Was he the Hugh Damn Douglas?
Yes. No, that was Orrin. No, Hugh Damn Douglas was Orrin. That's my frat brother. But Abe, Abe gave me an earful that day. And I'm just looking. And if you see Abe is not Abe.
Oh, I met him when we were in Atlanta.
Yeah, Abe is Mr. Abe. There's nothing that Abe doesn't know. Let Abe tell it. So yeah, Abe was hot. Abe was hot.
I imagine Kyle would be just as hot if we were if you were from home
Abe
and make
was,
it bacon.
Abe was furious.
But you can hear that.
So good.
It was good too, because it was like, you know, you cooked a whole pack of bacon because it's bacon, so you cooked the whole pack. And boy, I tell you, it was tasty.
It sounds like the mic pot. Is set up right next to the pan.
No, it was the kind, you know, with the kind. And I was just sitting over the kitchen. I'm
and it's sizzling hard,
yeah,
man.
It was, yeah.
Like when you tell the story in my head, I'm envisioning like, you know, if you really focus in, you
it's
can sort of hear it in the background,
yeah,
and the somebody
background.
Maybe called you into their office or something, or yeah. on Zoom for the pandemic, and they're like, "Hey, Hugh, like, you know, you can't do that on the air."
No, you
but
were
like,
cooking on the
this
air.
This was a spectacle.
Yeah, I was cooking. It was good, too. And you know what? Now I want bacon. I want bacon.
You know what the funniest part is? You came here, you got the Hatfield endorsement. It was the most natural endorsement ever.
I mean, that's why they got
bacon on the radio.
Look at God. God was looking out for me with that one. As a matter of fact, I need some more bacon, man. I'm out. Yeah. I need some bacon.
And at the end, you're like, just let me finish.
I know.
Let me turn this
no
last
remorse.
Piece.
No remorse. Hold on. Just let me. I gotta just finish this last piece, and then I'll be done. No more.
We were in a pandemic. I was doing pandemic stuff. Like everybody was doing what everybody
you
else
really,
was doing.
So you took it to the end degree.
No, because I don't know how it was for y'all, but station-wide, all over all the stations, when they said we can't go to work, I don't know how it was for y'all.
So we all came to work, but nobody else, like none of the salespeople. And then we had that adjacent studio. If you don't know what it looks like in here, Hugh and I are in a studio, and then Kyle's behind glass in his own room. And then there's another room over there that usually Rhea is in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we did it here is when there were shows with multiple people, like afternoon when it was Marks and Reese.
Everybody was in their own studio.
Yeah,
own
so
studio.
It was kind of like you were safe because you were alone.
Man, listen, they told us to stay home. And being in
you
Georgia.
You took that literally.
No, listen. And being in Georgia, it was a lot of, y'all don't know this, but it was a lot of pushback for that. And it was like being an I Am Legend. Like when you would go out, because you know, if you had to go out every now and then to go to the grocery store and stuff, nobody was in the stores. And they took all, I'm pretty sure it was like that up here, they took all the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They took all the toilet paper. Man, it was wild. It was wild. So,
yeah,
yeah,
it was 5 years ago right now,
bacon.
Yeah.
So I got all the bacon I could get, you know, just chilling at the crib, cooking.
On the air.
I just can't get over how loud it is.
Yeah.
It's roaring.
Was not happy. And then,
you could have turned down your mic.
And then, you know what? Shortly after that, everybody had to come back to work.
You blew it for everyone?
Oh, for you. Everybody had to come back to work.
They must have had some group chats. Like, you know, it's Hugh Douglas.
ain't no telling the names they called me.
Oh, I could think of some. All right, the final tally here. And then once it is final during the show, it is final.
Yes.
Are you putting Rob Thompson on the hot seat to start the season? Yes or no? 51% yes, 49% no.
I had a good showing. That wasn't bad. It wasn't where I wanted to be.
It's another moral victory.
I know.
what else do I have at this point? I mean,
just
like,
take
wasn't
the L's.
A bad showing.
Take the
wasn't
L's
a bad showing.
And accept the losses. That's all.
It wasn't a bad showing, though.
No, well, actually, I'm surprised it was this close. I mean, people were split on this today. I do wonder what the reaction is going to be to Topper as this season gets going. If they start off great, people... Actually, this lineup thing is going to be the pivot point to how we talk about Topper the entire season. If it works, it's going to be like, wow, Topper tried something that a lot of people were unsure of, and he upset the apple cart, and it worked. Look, you know, Turner was better, and Schwarber was just as good, and everyone was happy 5 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now. And if it doesn't work, and Turner struggles anyway, and Schwarber's got to readjust every time going from one to four, and Bryce is annoyed that he's not batting third, it's a risk by Topper.
Yeah, it is, but you can't. If you're all in on trying to do what's best for the team, then I think you have to be all in with everything. Even if you have to move around and make adjustments that might make you a little uncomfortable.
I agree with. I mean, that part I agree with. I hope the players are. It sounds like right now everyone's on board. We shall see when they come north and play some games starting on Thursday against the Washington Nationals. Opening day Thursday, Wheeler on the mound. And we'll find more out about the finale of this roster in the next couple days. It does sound like, though, Strom's going to be okay, even though we had the zipper situation today.
That's weird.
Well, it's because you don't use zippers as often as everybody else.
Yeah, that's true. But how could the zipper? It's the middle finger for me.
So if it was a finger, you could kind of guess.
Well, it's like, because it's specific. And when I look at my hand, I'm like, okay, how is the zipper in the suitcase affecting? Like, how does that get affected, zipping up the suitcase?
I mean, I need Matt Strom to go on record and tell everyone how he hurt his middle finger closing up his suitcase.
I just think it's kind of, it's odd.
I'm not saying that Phillies are lying, but sometimes when you hear about weird injuries, there's more to it than they tell you. They kind of come up with a nice.
Wait a minute, what was the baseball player? What happened? He got, I can't remember the story, but somebody got hurt and it was a weird story.
Every time it's a weird story, I always think, like, did he really hurt himself that way, or did they just kind of say that to cover up the real story? I don't know. Well, hopefully Strom's okay, and he's good to go on opening day. All right, you guys have a great rest of your Monday. We're back tomorrow with, I'm sure, a lot more nonsense as we get ready for opening day on Thursday with the Phillies and Nationals. Any what do you got? We got going on today? Any more practices or dental appointments?
Oh, no dental appointments. No dental appointments today. Just probably go home and go get me some bacon.
Bacon for you. What a shock there. All right, you guys.
But you can hear that?
Yeah, we can. You guys have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Afternoon show next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.